The most common argument between parents and kids used to be about chores, but nowadays a new conflict has taken the number one slot. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back in a moment to tell you what it is.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life. If you keep using Yahoo,
you consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com.
Kids still fight with mom and dad about doing the dishes and finishing their homework, but according to a recent survey, the majority of clashes these days involve screen time. In fact, 90% of parents report arguing with their kids over time spent glued to their phones. Parents worry that their kids are consuming inappropriate content, becoming addicted to video games, and being emotionally harmed by social media. Parents, listen to your instincts. You have to pick your battles, but this is one worth fighting over. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, reminding everyone to put down their phones and focus on what really matters. Check out my new website at realisgood.org.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop, call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop, call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them as they march into the palaces of the high and mighty. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hello, good afternoon. Catherine Albrecht here with no ability to hear myself other than an echo. That is horrible. Hang on. I am so sorry. I have been futzing with equipment, and I'm not sure why my equipment is not doing what it should. But hopefully you guys can hear me, even if I cannot hear myself. I can hear Kate.
We can hear you good. You sound good.
Perfect. All right. That's JD just confirming that I sound good. So I'm just going to take off the headphones because there's no point in having them on. All right. This is Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and it is Tuesday. Let's see. It is February 17th. And there's a lot going on in the world. There is a meeting tonight in our township hall of our little rural community to discuss the possibility yet again of a big data center coming into our community. And you may recall that actually is the issue that got me started and got my radio show back and got me involved in local politics and doing all the stuff I'm doing today. And taught me for the first time about artificial intelligence and the impact that it's having on the world, because in September of 2024 now, so it's been a while, 2024, some big company, we don't know which one, but it was probably one of the big AI companies, had planned to build a $500 million, $500 million data center right next door to our church here in a little tiny town in Michigan. It is rural here. It's not so rural that everybody's got cows, but it's so rural that we have, I think, two traffic lights. So it's not, there are no big shopping centers. There's really not much around here except houses and parks and the river. And this is not the kind of a place where you would put in a $500 million, really pretty much anything. And at that time, we found out, hang on, and see, this is just, everything's kind of going weird today. that should be on mute. We found out that this thing that we're going to build was going to consume as much electricity as all of the homes in my small town combined, homes and businesses combined, 100 times more electricity than all the homes and businesses combined, which would have been an enormous draw on our local power plant. And so we turned out in force. I got some signs printed because I have experience doing protests and going against nasty things that are happening. And we put yard signs up all over our community and in the surrounding communities with the word data center in a circle and a line through it. Now, if you don't know what a data center is, well, I didn't either in September of 2024. I got a phone call in the afternoon, and it was probably 6 p.m. saying, can you turn out, it was from my church, can you turn out and join us in the next hour? We're calling everyone from the church and asking them to show up at a township meeting. The local town trustees have a monthly meeting, and they're going to be discussing this proposal to put in this big data center. So I had no idea what it was. I got kind of dressed up, put on a dress, and hopped in my car and got there, and there was a big crowd. And all of us were asking the same question, what in the world is this? So one by one during the citizen comment period, as each of my fellow citizens got up to voice their objections to this data center, I was sitting there on my phone frantically looking up data centers to try to figure out what it was. And about the only thing I can conclude is that it was a place that housed computer information for storage or processing that would go out on the internet. At the time, I thought that would be like Netflix and email and all of the contents that play on Instagram. I thought it was that kind of stuff. I've since learned it's artificial intelligence. It's actually AI being built and run from these places. But at the time, I thought it was all of that. And about the only thing I could see was that communities were pretty much all universally opposed to it. There were big protests. There were prayer vigils. There were all kinds of lawsuits and people turning out to town hall meetings to object, similar to what we were doing. And I saw that there was one piece of federal legislation that had been introduced to put a moratorium or a block on building data centers because communities were so concerned about it. So I got up to speak, and anyone who knows my history knows it, that that's all she wrote, or that was the beginning, all she wrote for my 7-year in the desert period of time when I was not in the air and was not broadcasting, because that standing up at the podium and addressing that particular issue, I had this whoosh and this realization that this is what I was meant to do, and it was the next step of my life. So I got up and I simply talked about the reason that federal legislation had been introduced because of all of the problems associated with data centers. And then I went home and started doing research. And that's when I learned that data centers consume huge amounts of electricity. They consume huge amounts of hardware, computer hardware. In many communities, they consume enormous amounts of water for cooling because the hardware that it takes to run artificial intelligence is computer hardware that gets very hot, and water can cool it. So I learned all of those things, and I learned that data centers are the cradle in which AI is brought to life, I guess. They are the places where they put 15,000-20,000 GPUs, which is huge computers that are, you know, far bigger than any computer you would have worked on, much bigger than your desktop or laptop. And they feed them immense quantities of power, electrical power, and information. And by information, I mean all of the information humanity knows gets fed into them. And that takes a lot of time and effort. If you picture downloading what it takes for you to download a single PDF, imagine downloading every PDF that's ever been made, every movie that's ever been watched, every book that's ever been written, every music that's ever been recorded, all of the everything, really everything in the world, every scanned painting in the Louvre, all of it, and downloading all of that into those multiple computers is, it's a big endeavor. So when they feed all of that into the data center, then what happens? The data center produces this consciousness that then comes to life and says, here I am, I'm artificial intelligence. All right. So that was something I did not want in my community for many reasons. Initially, we didn't want it in our community because of the power consumption, because of the noise. They're incredibly loud, and having that next door to our church, which is right next door to an elementary school, would have been pretty unpleasant. But the more I was researching it and praying about it, the more it became very obvious to me that I did not want this in my community because it is evil, it's wicked, it's spiritually dark to bring this thing into the world, this artificial consciousness, which I believe is spiritual consciousness, into life through this this equipment. So I'm going to put my headset back on because I'm just realizing, JD, if you can hear me, that I am not going to hear the break because I can hear the break. I just can't hear myself. So hang on. Yeah, I'll hear the break coming up and I'll know when it's time to to go to a break. Anyway, so that's pretty much the start of where this radio show came from. That is the start of where the book I am working on has come from. That's the start of where realisgood.org, which is the website that I've launched against artificial intelligence, where I've posted a lot of the research that I've done. That's where all of that information and all of that sort of initiative and direction in my life came from, was the original meeting on September, I want to say 17th of 2024 at the local town hall trustee meeting. So I give you all that background to say that tonight I'm going to another one. What is it, a year and, I don't know, six months later, something like that. There is another one tonight because we fought the dragon, we pushed it back, we got a moratorium put in place. And recently was asked, what is a moratorium? Well, a moratorium is a break or a pause, a prohibition for a particular period of time against something. So we got a moratorium against artificial intelligence that has now expired, and they're back. So I'm going to this meeting tonight once again to fight the dragon, which is trying to return to our community. All right, so you may be fighting data centers in your community, you may be fighting solar installations in your community. I'm pretty much on board with your opposition to all of that. This is Dr. Catherine Albrecht. I'm going to try to fix my sound issues, and I'll be right back.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. I offered my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I didn't hide my face, I didn't hide my face from mockery and spitting. I didn't hide my face. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will.
Boy, that's for sure. All right, I'm back. Catherine Albrecht here. And now I can actually hear again. I don't know how these things just reset themselves. I didn't push any buttons, but there is a little setting that just got flipped the other direction, and it was the setting that said I couldn't hear myself. And by the way, you're probably like, what are you talking about, hear yourself? So when you are recording as a radio host, you have a headset on and or earpieces or some way to hear sound in your ear that doesn't go out into the room and into the microphone. And what it gives you is both the feed, that's the audio stream, from the radio station or wherever it is that you're connected to. So I hear all of the bumper music. That's the music at the beginning of each ad break, at the end of each speaking segment, etc. I hear the beginning, opening, and the end. I hear all the commercials. I hear all that from KHNC, the radio station that is broadcasting the sound of my voice on the radio airwaves in Johnstown, Colorado. And I also hear my own voice. Now, you would think, well, why do you need to hear your own voice? I probably don't, actually, but I'm used to it. And so when I don't hear it, and I have the headset on, and all I hear is KHNC, and then a whole bunch of silence as I'm speaking, it's really disorienting. So I use the headset and this particular setup when I'm recording the vignettes. Those are the little 90-second things you hear at the beginning of each show with all my little stories and tidbits and health facts and funny stories about raccoons and all those little guys that you hear at the beginning. Those are going out to 50 different radio stations across the country. And by the way, if you're interested in picking that up for whatever purpose, if you've got an audio podcast or a broadcast or a radio station and you would like to carry those 90-second vignettes, it's basically a 15-second intro, a 30-second start mail ad, and then a 60-second cool story. Those go out, brand new ones every week, 5 every week, one for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And if you would like to get on that list, I would be more than happy to distribute those to you free of charge. So there's no, I don't pay you to air them. You don't pay me to get them. And it's just kind of a barter economy or a open source free economy. So feel free to use those in any way you would like. And if you reach out to me, I'd be happy to add you onto the mailing list. Those go out every Friday morning for the following week. And 5 of those are attached. So if you're interested in that, you can go to my website at catherine-albrecht.com. At the bottom of the menu bar is a message me contact window/form. It's basically the equivalent of writing me an email. So just fill in your email address, let me know what you want, and we'll get you on the list. And you can also receive 5 of those a week every Friday. Happy to add you. All right. I have, let's see. Let me get there. Talking about the data centers. Okay. So the data centers are problematic for a ton of reasons, and I need to make a website about it. I've been kind of on a making websites kick lately. I have my new website at realisgood.org, which may be moving over to Carbon Lives Matter, but hasn't done that yet, thanks to David, who came up with that good name. But realisgood.org is currently the place where I'm putting all of my research about why AI is horrible. And so you can go there, you can find the links, you can find the research, and that is realisgood.org. I am also building a website called Religion is Back. And I probably won't be able to do it on this show, but I'm going to talk to you guys about how quantum prayer, which is a big topic I've been talking about recently, how quantum prayer and the ability to affect reality by petitioning God for things to be different through our prayers is playing a huge role in the job that he gave me to do, to reintroduce Jesus Christ and the Christian religion, and I'm actually using the word religion, into mental health care across this country. And so that is Religion is Back, what I've since learned since being appointed to the Community Mental Health Authority. I'm on the board for my county's Community Mental Health Authority. That is the public community mental health, right? You having a mental health problem and you go to the public agency that helps with that, and they get you counseling, or they get you an appointment, or they get you medication. They do whatever it is that you need. And I'm on the board for that. And ever since I was appointed to that board, which was in March of last year, so about 6 months after I found out about the data centers and kind of became, I won't say a local celebrity because I'm not, but I became known as a person who's concerned about the community politically and is active. And I got appointed to that community mental health board as a result of that. So it's all kind of unfolded from the beginning of this data center into all of these different directions and different areas. So the community mental health website, or the website that I've put together for that particular issue, is called religionisback.com. I don't think it's up yet. If it is, it's just going to say coming soon, because I am building the website. I was working on it today. I've got lots of pages, but they're all ipso lorem. They're all that Latin fill in blankety blank text, you know, not blankety blank like swear words, but just like Latin nonsense. I do have all of the information. It's just going to take me some time to populate it in there correctly. But that is Religion Is Back. And it makes sense to probably take all of this information about data centers and solar that I've been collecting and accumulating, and the research I've been doing on that, both research online and research actually in person, talking to and interviewing people who've been who live near these facilities and have been harmed. That probably all needs to go on a website as well. So just speaking about data centers for just a moment, David, who is listening in the chat room on Catherine-Albrecht.com, there's a live chat room in there, you can join us, made a comment that the GPUs that are in place in these data centers are about the same size as regular computers. And it depends. I actually have a GPU sitting on my desk right now, and courtesy of my son Peter, who set up all of the technology here. And it's pretty cool. It's really fast. It's really powerful. I can render graphics in no time. Not that I do a lot of that, but I could if I wanted to, because I got a great computer. The computers that they have in these data centers, a lot of them are like this one. And other ones, I've actually seen these platters. You ever seen a disk, a hard drive disk? It is shiny and it's like a flat, shiny circle, kind of like a CD. Well, some of these are like a foot and a half across. Maybe I'm exaggerating. I don't think I am. They're massive. They're huge. So those go into place there too. Now, why does this affect you? Well, first of all, if you are in a rural community and you do a little bit of research and poking around, you will probably find that there has been a push to bring a data center in near you and/or/ a solar farm. And to the extent that you're not seeing that in your community, it is probably because your property values are too high. So I spent many years living in Los Angeles County, and in LA County, believe me, there are no proposals to build $500 million data centers that I'm aware of, because why would you do that? Why would you go in and purchase land when even a 1,000 square foot or a 700 square foot house in Burbank, I think like 10 years ago when I looked, that had graffiti on it was $750,000, and it sat with no, it didn't even have a backyard, like a little strip of concrete, and then there was the next house. So that's property values in Los Angeles. You're not going to build a huge data center there, but you are going to come to our rural community in Michigan, or a rural community in Virginia, or in Colorado, or name your place. So these data centers, if you're not hearing about them in your community, it's either because A, they're really quiet and they're not telling people about it, B, you are in a community where they just don't want to build them because the electrical costs are too high in your community, or the property values are too high, or C, it's going on and you're just not noticing. So take a look and see if there are data centers going in near you. I'm shocked. So I told you that the vignettes, that's a nice French word, V-I-G-N-E-T-T-E, because G-N in French is nia, vignettes, which is the 90-second thing that I send out, go to 50 different radio stations around the country. And I did a research project a while back. I made a database of all 50 radio stations that those vignettes are being played on a daily basis. And I identify the county that each of those radio stations is located in. And then I went on to my favorite search engine, which is StartPage, startpage.com. I don't use Google. And I typed in that county, that state, and then the word data center. And I found that virtually every single county where my vignettes are played is either has had data centers installed, is fighting data centers, or is being considered for data center placement. So it's everywhere. Everywhere I looked, everywhere I went, it was like, whoa, these data centers are crazy. They're like predators. They're going for everybody. Now, here are the implications. And I, if you go to my website, katherine-albrecht.com, and in, boy, I haven't been here in a while. Let me see this. I have not updated this. All right, fight against AI. There it is. In the menu bar, I think the fourth thing down to, oh, this page could not be found. Great. That's not even there. Should be there. I will fix that. Why is fight against AI not there? Anyway, on fight against AI, can't be found. Look at that. All right, I got to fix that. On that page, I put all my research against data centers. All right, more when we come back. Stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
.com.
God enthroned, be revealed in splendor as you ride upon angels' wings. You led us as a people and set us free. Loving shepherd, won't you hear our plea? Shine forth from your throne of dazzling light in the sight.
All right, I'm back. Well, I'm glad I figured it out. I didn't figure out how to fix it, but I did figure out that my fight against AI page, which I'm looking at right here, and it's totally here. I just don't know how to link it back up to my website. All right, well, I'll fix that. Glad I noticed it, even though it's a bummer I noticed it while trying to direct you to it. But on that page, I listed, because I thought I was going to write a book about this before I discovered the actual book I'm going to write, and I have hundreds, maybe thousands of links and stories and contents, and it is all organized about data centers and artificial intelligence. So it's here. Where is it? Tons of, okay, click here for, yeah, it's all here. All right. I want to talk today a little bit about one of the downsides that is personally affecting us at StartMail of the artificial intelligence boom and the data centers that are being created. This is an article from the New York Times, And I brought it up. So every Monday, I have a meeting with the executive team at StartMail. That is the private email that has agreed to go completely AI free, which when they agreed to that in 2024 wasn't a big deal. It's now become a massive deal that they've agreed to that because most of the other companies are not only feeding all of your email into artificial intelligence, but they're actually using AI to do all of their coding and programming, or at least a fair bit of it. And we are not. So we are, we have intentionally, I don't want to say handicapped ourselves. That would not be the right word. We have intentionally chosen to not use these tools that other companies are using. And it was not a tough choice to make back in 2024. It's becoming a big deal now that we've actually chosen not to use these tools. The reason that affects you is because researchers have been finding that when artificial intelligence writes the code for things, that it tends to insert weird little yucky things into the millions of lines or hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of lines of code that it produces, there tend to be some yucky things in there. And so I'm actually really glad that StartMail, which is the private email that's AI-free and encrypted, is not being written on any level by artificial intelligence. I don't know of any other companies who can say that now. It is in 2024, probably everybody could say that. So it wasn't a big deal to go, we won't do it. But here in 2026, it's actually a huge deal that StartMail not only has made a promise to never give your email to AI, it's made a promise to protect your email from AI, and it's also made a promise to never use AI in our internal business practices, which is huge right now. I don't think I could have gotten the engineering team to promise that in 2026. So I'm so glad that the Lord had me reach, or had them reach out to me actually, and reestablish our connection so that I could inoculate or protect StartMail back in 2024 when it was easy to protect. And it is now, I feel like there's a huge protective bubble over StartMail that is not protecting pretty much anything else. So if you have not yet gotten yourself a StartMail account, just do it. Go to startmail.com. Use my coupon code KMA, those are my initials, KMA, and you'll get a third off. It is $60 a year, $5 a month. And you do not have to switch all of your email over to it. I finally got a clue and went, people aren't going to be willing to do that. I've been willing to do it. I've done it. But I don't expect people to do that. You can continue to receive all of your email through your Gmail or your Yahoo or your Apple Mail or your whatever account. But the things that matter, you want to start migrating them over onto StartMail so that you have the privacy. When you use your StartMail account, there is no way that StartMail can get into it. And I know this because I'm one of the, well, first of all, I'm on the executive team. Second of all, I'm one of the co-founders. Back in 2012, when we first came up with the idea to build it, I was involved in every single step of the way. And it's so cool that after my 7 years in the desert, when I didn't work with StartMail, because I didn't work with anybody, they reached out to me as soon as the Lord was bringing me back out of that desert and said, hey, we'd like to bring you back. And I was like, okay, great. And then the first thing I said was, oh, there's this yucky AI thing. Would you guys consider being a shelter against that? And I'm like, sure, we don't like it either. And so here we are. Here we are now, almost, year and a half, almost 2 years later. Okay, so with that background, every Monday I have a meeting with that executive team. And Robert Beans, who owns the company, is just one of the dearest, most wonderful people I know. He is a former airline pilot and lawyer. I mean, he's just a really interesting guy. He's Dutch, so the company is based in the Netherlands. And I first met him back in 2008, I think, because I had him on my show. He was actually a guest on my show talking about a private search engine, which turned into Startpage, the search engine I still use, and talking about his personal commitment to privacy. And little did I know back in 2008 that all these years later, what has that been, 18 years, is that right? Gosh, it's been a long time, that all these years later, we would still be working together. And now those privacy issues that were just kind of annoying back then have now become, I believe, will soon be matters of life or death. So get yourself a StartMail account. Go to startmail.com. KMA is the coupon code. And just do it. just sign up and just do it. If for no other reason, even if you're just going to have it in your back pocket, to support this radio program and support me, because I haven't asked for anything. I don't ask you guys for anything. I don't even run ads on this show except for Start Mail. So if you appreciate this radio program, if you appreciate what I'm doing, that is probably the number one way that you can show your support for me while also doing something super important to protect yourself. All right, so back to data centers. This article, New York Times, dated January 29th, so it's like 2 weeks ago, how the AI boom could push up the price of your next PC. AI companies are buying up memory chips, causing the prices of those components, which are also used in laptops and smartphones, to soar. S-O-A-R, like go really high. This is on my radar screen because we have to, like all tech companies, periodically upgrade our servers and our equipment at StartMail. And in this, the last couple Monday meetings, and particularly this last one yesterday, the topic was, holy smokes, the price of the equipment has gone through the roof if we can even get it. And I shared this particular article and said, yeah, the average, and Robert was like, well, Catherine, you need to tell people that this is one of the bad things AI is doing. And I said, well, I don't know that the average person is really going to care that companies, tech companies like StartMail, are not able to get the equipment they need. I mean, yeah, you care a little bit, but I'll tell you what people do care about is the fact that your own smartphone, your own laptop, your own desktop, your own fill in the blank of something that needs these computer components is going to also go through the roof, and you're going to have the same experience that we just had. The concern here is that this stuff, this AI stuff that people are using just to like shoot the breeze or get a little help here and there, is not free. It is not free. It is costing society immensely. It's costing society in terms of these data centers destroying communities. It's costing society in terms of these rising prices. And bear in mind that why are they having to buy all this stuff? Well, because the old stuff they had is wearing out. What are they doing with it? Well, there are mountains of e-waste. I think it's like a small e. I don't know. Anyway, look it up. Look up like e-waste and hit images and you will cringe in horror as you see the amount of waste that when these components are used up, they leach toxic chemicals into the environment. There, you can't put them in a landfill. They are, you can't just dump them. And so what are we doing with them? This is horrifying. We're sending them to third world countries and letting them deal with them. So you see those mountains of e-waste with barefoot kids walking on them and you're horrified because they're poisoning themselves. Well, yeah, that's all our waste. That's all our old phones and our old AI computers that are no longer the state of the art. And they're all winding up over there. So let me read this article. Kelt Reeves this guy has sold high-end personal computers for 34 years, catering to gamers and others willing to pay $4,000 and more for extreme performances. His company builds these to order using powerful computer chips, particularly a variety known as RAM, random access memory, which hold data temporarily, while other chips crunch numbers and display graphics. But as OpenAI, Meta, Google, and other tech giants battle to win the artificial intelligence race, they are demanding more memory chips for the data centers they're building to power the technology. Since last summer, Mr. Reeves has been grappling with the tripling of the cost of memory chips, pushing his company to raise the price of some of its popular high-end computers to $7,000. Instead of $4,000. This is not a consumer-driven bubble, he said. He's 55 years old. No one is expecting this to be a quick blip that's going to be over with. All right, I'm going to post a link to a non-paywall version of this. In fact, let me do this right now. Put it in my chat room. Go to Catherine-Albrecht.com. Click on live chat, and I'm posting the link to this right here. Oh, yeah, and I see a question from David. Can we get Robert to come on the show? I would love to get Robert on the show, but he's like, no, Catherine, that's what I hire you to do. I hire you to be the radio spokesperson. You're the outgoing one. I stress out on the radio, so maybe at some point we can. All right, stay tuned. I'll be right back.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Go to one place. All are from the dust, and to dust all return. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and to dust all return.
So that's a good reminder. The physical things around us, your body, your attractive muscles, your beautiful visage that looks back at you in the mirror, that's all dust. It's all dust. The trees outside your window, chair you're sitting at, it's all dust. And it's all going to return to dust. But I'll tell you one thing that's not, and that is the flame that makes you you, the free will. The consciousness that makes you you is never going to go away. That's going to be here forever. And that's not dust, because that is not physical. It is spiritual. It's spiritual. So I like to give people a reminder that as the dust, as the physical things made of dust are crumbling around us, that the real essence of you is in no way being destroyed or harmed or minimized. It is completely your choice based on who you choose to follow, because I've been playing only scripture music on this show, but I probably should put that Bob Dylan song back on. You got to serve someone. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you got to serve someone, because it is true. You will serve someone. If you think you're serving yourself and you don't even believe in all that quote unquote nonsense, that spiritual nonsense, you are by default serving the devil. By default, every single person born into this realm, into the world, the planet Earth, and this kingdom of dust that we live in, is under the sovereignty of the leadership, the princehood of the devil, right? Our Adam and Eve, our ancestors, democratically elected him the leader of this world, and every single person born into it by default is born into serving him. And it's by a conscious decision that you have to get out from under that particular citizenship that I particularly don't want. And you choose free will, right? You choose to serve the Lord. And when you do that, then everything shifts. And then you join the winning team. And then you join the team of light, not darkness. And then you join the team of truth, not deception. And I could go on and on and on about the importance of choosing which team you're going to be on. But if you think you've not chosen, you have by default been chosen for you. So make a choice, make a decision, because as things get rougher and rougher, as we get squeezed harder and harder, as the dust around us becomes more and more swirlingly yucky, then you need to be focused on who you are eternally. And I was having a conversation with my daughter about this today. She is a sophomore in college and wonderful, just has a wonderful walk with the Lord. But we were talking about something I say often on the show, and I realized I hadn't said it to her. And I'll say it to you in case you missed it on previous shows, that this isn't our dust. This is not, this world is not our world. This is not our home. This is not our dust. All of the stuff that's on fire, and the world does seem to be on fire in so many ways, it's not our fire because it's not our world. So if you've made the decision to renounce your earthly citizenship with the devil on your ID card and replace it with an eternal citizenship card of light and goodness and truth with Jesus Christ and the Lord, the Trinity, right? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on your ID card, then this is no longer your world. It's not. This world still belongs to the devil. This world is still falling apart. He's in charge. And look what happens when he's in charge. It's not so great. So, but this isn't your world. And in the same way, we are the rescue crew, in the same way that firemen, when they show up to a burning building, are the rescue crew. They do not walk into the burning building and go, oh, the humanity. Well, maybe the humanity, but they don't go, oh, the furniture. Oh, the beautiful paintings. They're all getting burned up. Oh, no. That's not what they do. They go in the building and they go, I don't care about any of that stuff. Where are the people? I'm getting them out of this building. And they are single-minded, they're single-focused, and their goal is not to stop the building. Well, they do try to stop the building from burning, but they don't really care about whether the building is preserved or not, because they spray all of their water and all of their chemicals and the house is destroyed anyway. The reason they do that is so that it doesn't spread and kill even more people, because their goal is life, people. And so that's us. We are the rescue crew. We have got fireproof suits and breathing apparatus and protective, coverings. We are protected. We're safe. Nothing's going to happen to us because we have eternal life. Nothing's going to happen. If the dust that our eternal life is housed in it somehow perishes, doesn't really matter. We'll be okay. In fact, we'll probably be better off. So we're the rescue crew, and our goal, the rest of our lives needs to be spent in this burning building, getting people out. What does it mean to be, get people out of the burning building? It means that you don't want them to burn up with the building. And all of the people who have not chosen the citizenship of Jesus Christ, who have not renounced their citizenship of the world, are going to burn up in the world, and that's going to be the end of them. So as many people as possible, as many people hearing the sound of my voice, I pray for you guys that you will make the decision to no longer be a victim in a burning house who is going to burn up with all your stuff that you care about, and instead join us here in the rescue team, right? Join us here. We've got the power. We got the truth. We got the strength. We've got the Lord. And we've also got the hope. And we have the eternity. We have the future. So join us. It's a good place to be. All right, back to my article. I am going to fix my website so you can see my fight against AI. All of the work I did, I don't want it to go away. So I'll get that fixed this afternoon. I get off the air at 5. I have to be in the trustee meeting at 7. And this is just like an information gathering thing. I think we're going to have a big community meeting where we want everybody to turn out. We're hoping to get like, 100, 200 people there. That's not yet. So this is more of an information gathering meeting. I'm just going to see the lay of the land. What are they doing? What's coming up? What's this data center buzz that I'm hearing? And then after that, that's at 7. And then I have a podcast that I'm doing. And I'll give you the link, maybe tell you about it tomorrow. But when I was on Coast to Coast, I got invited onto a show to do a Zoom podcast, which got scheduled for 9:30 tonight. So I'll be doing that too. All right. This article, basically, I will summarize it. The AI industry is sucking up all of the computer hardware and all of the memory, all of the data, and the rest of us are left scrabbling for crumbs that they leave behind at incredibly huge prices. The data center, those same AI people, are sucking up all of the electricity. Have you noticed that your bill is going up? I certainly have, and communities all around the country are seeing higher power expenses, higher power bills, higher electricity bills. Why? Because AI is sucking up all the power. Now, you remember in your, your college or high school beginning intro to economics, and they taught you the supply and the demand curve. As the demand for something goes up and there's not enough supply, what happens? The price goes up. Well, that's happening to computer chips, and it is happening to electricity. And it will be happening to every other thing that these guys want to suck up too. So as the demand goes up, the supply will struggle to keep pace, and the price will then go up, right? The the response to that is you produce more of the thing, right? Well, how do we produce more electricity? Well, we either build nuclear power plants, which those of us old enough to remember Three Mile Island and Chernobyl are like, okay. Or we build solar farms, which on the surface, if you don't know about them, seem great, like, you know, like puppies and sunshine. What's not to love about solar? Free energy from the sun. Well, there's a million things not to love about solar. I used to talk about it all the time on my show because I was driving out to Shiawassee County, Michigan, visiting with the very devastated community that is surrounded by solar and has all kinds of health issues and psychological, mental health. It's just it's a miserable place. And the reason I stopped going there is because I, simply by being exposed to the noise, developed massive problems with my own hearing and had to go on steroids and gained 35 pounds that I never lost. So I'm like, hang on a minute. That should not be happening. So I, so that's what you get. That is the way that, the way that you're going to get enough electricity to feed all the data centers is by building lots of solar farms. And every community that they've gone into has said they're horrible, just like the data centers. But these tech bros, the big companies that are building AI, don't care, right? They don't care. That's really important. I'm going to repeat it a third time. They don't care. They don't care. If to build a data center and power it, they had to literally raze, R-A-Z-E, like go over with a razor and flatten to the ground entire communities, they would do it. They would do it. And they wouldn't think twice because they don't care. So if they don't care, who is going to care? Well, we're the rescue team. We care. God cares. And communities care. They're fighting back for everything they've got. They're fighting back against these data centers, but the big companies don't care. And this is a really important thing to get through all of our heads, because I think we grew up expecting, like, parents care about us and the government cares about us. And I guess these big companies are kind of like parents and government, but they don't care about us. They don't. They don't at all. They only care about you as a product. They only care about you as a source of money. So they're going to give you AI with all the gifts and all the flattery and everything that AI can offer to extract money from you. And as soon as you're no longer a source of money, well, they don't care about you. So anyway, I'll be at this meeting tonight. Be praying for me. And hang on, where'd it go? What a beautiful text coming in. Ah, this is from Tammy in Loveland. Thank you for all you do. Thank you, Tammy. All right, God bless you all. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll tell you what happened tonight. All right.